Hello, a good Erev Pesach to all of the young women who will be listening to this sheer lesson, thoughts about Pesach. We're dividing it up, Pesach, Matzah, and Marah, and we're going to be talking about Pesach, the idea of Pesach. So, first of all, let's talk about what the mitzvahs of the night are. There are two mitzvahs midoraisa, two mitzvahs from the Torah on the night of Pesach. One of them is achilas matzah, eating matzah. Matzah, as we know, is called lechem oni, the bread of affliction, the bread of pain. And we also have the mitzvah sipur yitzias mitzrayim, the mitzvah of saying over the Haggadah. Achilas matzah, sipur yitzias mitzrayim. Both based on psukim. The achilas matzah is based on the pasuk b'rishon b'arba'asa yom lachodesh b'erev tochlu matzos. And the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is Vigad for Vincha b'Yomahu Limar, Abur Zeh Hashem Asa Hashem Li B'Tzeisim in Mitzrayim. And it says in the passage, Vigad for Vincha, you should tell your child, that's just because that's the most commonplace thing. This is what our Chacham tell us. But if that were not to be the case, a person who didn't have a child with him, he would say it to whoever is present. And if he would not have anybody there, he has to still be saying it, and even asking himself the manishtana, he asks himself the questions, manishtana, halai, lozem, ikol, halelos. So we have two mitzvahs min ha-Torah, that is achilas matzah and sipisiyas mitzrayim. We have two mitzvahs midrabanan. One of them is achilas marer, eating the marer, which really would have been a doraisa, except that doraisa, it's only if you eat it with a korban pesach. We don't have a korban pesach today, halavai, we will. So it's now what remains a mitzvah d'rabbanan, and also the drinking of the four kosas of wine. And that's besides the regular mitzvah of Kiddush that we make. Now, we call matzah lechem oni, the bread of affliction, as I translate it. But Chazal also said, lechem she'onin olav, dvarim harbed. It's a bread on which we speak. Onin harbed means we answer, but also means to speak. And we speak about a lot about it. In fact, the name Pesach, we call it the Chag HaPesach. Pesach, the Arizal says, has a deeper meaning. The simple, I can't say simple, but the pshat of the word is that it means to pass over. That's why they call the Yantav Passover. It really means to skip over. That Hashem is Poseach in the houses of Klal Yisrael. Rashi also brings that it means to have chemla, to have rachmanis. Hashem had rachmanis in the houses of Klal Yisrael that night. But the Arizal brings down Pesach. Pesach is Pesach, a mouth that speaks. A mouth that speaks. So there's a lot going on with speaking that night. Lechem oni, lechem shanina lev devarim harbe, the bread on which we speak a lot. We have the mitzvah, v'higad v'levincha v'yom ahu, the mitzvah sipur yitzias mitzayim. And really, even the other mitzvahs of the night have to do with our mouths, too. The eating of matzah, the drinking of the kosos, the eating of marah, a lot going on around the mouth. The mouth is a very integral role in the Seder of Pesach. Okay, so now, it seems to be that it's coinciding with various different parshas, which also spoke a lot about the mouth. In Parsha Shemini, which we had not long ago, it told us all about what foods we should not put into our mouths or what foods we can put into our mouths, what's kosher, what's not kosher, that our mouths should be kept holy. And then in Parshas Tazria Mitzorah, we have not what we should put into our mouths, but what we should let out of our mouths. A whole discussion on all the halachos about if a person has tzaras, or his beged has tzaras, or his house has tzaras, but it's all coming down to that because the person did an Avera. There's really seven different Averas that Tzaras can come for, but one of the most prominent ones of them all is the Avera of Lashon Hara. In fact, the word Mitzorah is Motzi Ra. He lets out bad from his mouth. So we have these parshas right now. Tazria, Mitzorah, we had Shemini, what we should put into our mouths or what we shouldn't put into our mouths, keep our mouths holy, and then what we should let out of our mouths and make sure that that which comes out of our mouths is only that which should come out of our mouth. And in the process of purification of the Mitzorah, one of the things he has to do is he has to take two birds. One is shechted and one is set free. But the idea of the birds is the thought that he's reminded that birds are chirping constantly. And he has to be reminded that he was allowing himself to, you might say, chirp constantly, to always be talking. And the person has to know, we have to think about our words. We can't just let them come out of our mouths and just say anything that we feel like saying. You know, people, there's an expression, talk is cheap. You know, people mean to say, like, you know, don't just say something, go and do it. Talk is cheap. But it is really true that talk is cheap, and in a different way as well. Actually, my sister-in-law, Mrs. Rivka Gibber, who pointed out once, she once wrote an article, that there was a time that talk was expensive. When I grew up, it was very expensive to make a long-distance phone call. You couldn't just call wherever you wanted and not pay anything more for that service. Even just calling the next town was considered a long-distance phone call, and we didn't really do it. You know, I grew up in Monticello. From Monticello to Fallsburg, we didn't call unless it was very important, because it was considered long distance. When I was in high school, I spoke to my parents once a week for 3 minutes, because it was a long-distance phone call, and it cost a lot of money. And past 3 minutes, the price went even higher. People would send telegrams to somebody who was getting married with a message of Mazel Tov. 15 words were allowed in the telegram, and you tried to think of everything you wanted to say within those 15 words. And after the 15 words, it became much more expensive if you would write more than that. A person called Eretz Yisrael. I remember when I was in high school, a cousin of mine was in Eretz Yisrael, and so the whole family came to the phone to call her once the entire year, and we were each given slots of time, maybe 10 seconds or so, that we could say something. We thought about what we wanted to say, because we had 3 minutes total for all of us together to speak to her in Eretz Yisrael, and it cost a lot of money. So talk was expensive, and when talk was expensive, people gave a lot of thought to the words that they would use, or the words that would come out of their mouths, or the words that they would write. But then as talk became cheap, and people were not so concerned so much about what comes out of their mouth. And so we have to realize that speech is divine. Speech is the neshama inside of ourselves, the chelek alokam imal, the piece of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's inside of ourselves. And the Stipler points out, Zatzal, that's the father of Rav Chaim Kanievsky, Zatzal, he points out an interesting thing, that whereas most tumas, if a person touches something, he becomes tame, or if a person has certain bodily things that happen to him, he becomes tame. Immediately, with the fact that the thing occurs, the person becomes tame. And yet, by tzaraas, it doesn't work like that. If a person speaks lashon hara, doesn't become tame right away. And then, let's say he sees a blemish erupting on his skin, he's still not tame. He has to have the kohen come and check it, and the kohen has to pronounce him tame. It goes by the word of the kohen. The kohen has to say he's tame. The word kohen doesn't say he's tame, then he's not tame. Even if it's exactly the same thing, but let's say there was no kohen around to check him, he's still not tame. It goes by the word, by the mouth of the kohen. In fact, it even says, like, let's say a person, there's a Talmud Chacham, and he knows very well that the thing is tame. He still doesn't declare it tame. Only the kohen declares it tame, and it goes by the word of the kohen. So the Stipler points out that this is different than other tumas, where the person just becomes tummy from whatever incident happened. He touched something, he felt, you know, he had a bodily issue or something like that, becomes tummy right away. Tumas mace, the person's in the same building as a mace, or he touched a mace, and yet saras, he doesn't become tummy until, not when he does the aveira, not when he gets the blemish, but not until he is pronounced tummy by the coin. And why is this? And he points out, could be it's a mida keneged mida, he says, because since he's being punished for lashon hara, he's being taught that words matter. Words matter. The one word the kohen is going to say is going to affect you tremendously. And that's to teach him a lesson. You have to be careful with what you say. Words matter very, very much. Let's think of it like an example. Person, you know, his daughter's getting married next week, and he says something to his neighbor that, you know, the Bachut was really, you know, a difficult fella to deal with. He did this and this. He said this and this, whatever it may be. And he wakes up in the morning and finds something on his skin. And the halacha is the person's not allowed to cut it out. He can't just, like, try to pretend it wasn't there. So he knows he's supposed to go to the kohen. First, he looks at it and he, you know, points out to his wife, like, I don't know what this is. And, you know, until they finally decide that this is something that really has to be seen by the kohen. And the kohen comes to check him, and the kohen looks at it, and perhaps the kohen is going to say that it's tame. And the person might say, well, you know, what does that mean? So he says that you have a lot of things you have to do now. You have to chair kriya, You can't cut your hair anymore. You have to cover your mouth, because your mouth is the source of the Aveirim. And the Pasuk says he has to cover his mouth. Cover the mustache area, it really says. The first time I would have to cover his mouth. And Mefreshim explained, because that was the source of his Aveirim, that he spoke badly. And you have to go Mechutz L'Machaneh. Can't even stay, you can't go into Beis HaMikdash for sure. You can't even stay where the Levim are. Can't even stay in Machaneh Yisrael where the rest of the Yidden are. You have to go Mechutz L'Machaneh, outside of the city. And the person may say, you know, I'll go, but my daughter's getting married next week. Can we hold this off for a few more days? And the answer is no. You tell me. And the person will say, but what's going to be? How long am I going to be out there? And the Kohen will tell him, we don't really know. Until you do tshuva, or the Rebbeinu Shemaz Rachmanis on you. Because there's a misconception that people think that the Mitzvah was outside of the Machaneh for 7 days. That's not true. The purification process takes 7 days. But till he sees that things are, that the Mitzvah is leaving him, we don't know how long it's going to be. It could be a month, it could be a year, it could be 5 years, it could be 10 years, it could be the rest of his life. So the person is distraught, what's going to be? Who's going to take care of my wife and my children? What about Parnassah? And the Kohen says, you should have thought about that before. It's time. That's it. You have to go. And if he's fine, then and maybe he'll say, and who's going to learn with my children? Tama Tarek and Eged Kulam. Tame, you have to go outside the Machaneh. And stay away from even other people. You can't even be with other Tameim. And the person might plead and who knows what, but that's the din. And his life is turned upside down because of one word that was emitted from the mouth of the Kohen. That's to teach us that words matter very, very, very much. And he calls out Tame Tame when people go past him. He has to announce to people that he's Tame. This is a humiliating experience. He has to say, stay away from me. I'm Tame. Don't go near me. Tame Tame Yikra. And Chazal say he calls out, I'm Tame, because he wants people to daven for him. He asks people, could you daven for me? I'm Tame, please ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to have Rachmanis on me. The Chofetz Chaim asks, why doesn't he just daven for himself? Why does he have to ask other people to daven for him? We find that the tefillah of a person who is sick himself is more powerful than other people davening for him. We find it by Yishmael. When Hagar davened for him, and when Yishmael davened for himself, and the Pasuk says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu heard the voice of the Nar. Because when a person is in tzara, his own tefillos are very, very strong. So why would he be asking, why is our mitzvah asking other people to daven for him instead of just davening himself? And the Chofetz Chaim points out, based on the words of Chazal, that having spoken Loshon Hara, the words of tefillah that he says are not the same anymore. They're not reaching up to Shemayim the way they would have. They're also blemished. The tefillos are blemished. They became tame as well from the words that he said that were tame. And so we're learning from those for the parshias that are just now connected with right before the Seder that we have to be so, so careful to make sure that our mouths are being used correctly. Because that which would come out of our mouths, the Torah, the tefillah that comes out of our mouths, if the mouth has been misused, it has a ruach hatumah on it. And it doesn't reach the Rebbeinu Shlom the way it should. So what we have to do is fix our mouths first. Perhaps that's why these parashiyos come. Now, Shmini, what we take into our mouth has to be cut. We have to be careful to remain kadoshim. What we let out of our mouths, as we're in Mitzvah, we have to make sure that only good things are coming out of our mouths. And if that's the case, then the person's mouth is ready for the Seder. Begadz levincha bayomahu leymar. Person is ready now to use his mouth in praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to sing Shirim B'Seshbachos, Shiros B'Seshbachos to the Rebbeinu Shalom, with that mouth that he was given. And don't think it's a small thing when we'll be sitting by the Seder and saying the Haggadah. You know, we might just think, so we're saying some words, we're telling the story, we've said it many times before, but the Sefer Lekach Tov brings down, actually, from Sefer Raya Nemnusa, which is a Kabbalah Sefer, but if he brings it in the Sefer, we're allowed to see what it says. And he says that it's a mitzvah to be Meshabeach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to speak about the Shevach of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And anybody who does and is happy when he does it, Asid Hu L'Smoach B'Shechina L'Olam Haba, he will in the future rejoice with the Shechina L'Olam Haba. person who will say the Haggadah and say it the Simcha will in the future rejoice with the Shechina Olam Haba, which is the greatest Simcha that there is, because the person is rejoicing with the Ribbono Shel Olam, with his master. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu takes pleasure in this Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim that he's saying. And not only that, it goes on to say, and at that moment, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gathers all of his heavenly courts, all of the malachim, all the myriad malachim that there are in Shemayim, he gathers them together, and he says to them, go and listen to the Sipur of the Shevach, of my Shevach, that my children are saying. And they're being so happy with my Geula. Now it says my Geula, it might mean the Geula that I brought, it also might mean my personal Geula, because we know Yisrael begalusa, Shechinta begalusa. When Klai Yisrael are in Galus, so is the Shechina in Galus. So when we came out of Mitzrayim, the Ribbono Shel Olam came out of Shibud. There's deeper understanding of what that's all about. And one way of explaining it is that when Klai Yisrael are enslaved, persecuted, when we're being downgraded, then the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not recognized in the world, because people will say, where's Hashem? Why is he not protecting his people? And Chas V'Shalom might even say that there is no Hashem, Chas V'Shalom. So when we're in Galus, the Ribbono Shel Olam is in Galus too. And the Ribbono Shel Olam, when we come out of Galus and Hashem shows his hand to the world, then the Ribbono Shel Olam comes out of Galus too, because people recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this can be the explanation, Ki Yad Al Kes Ka, that as long as there's Amalek in the world, Hashem's Kisei and his Malchus are not, Hashem's name and his Malchus, I'm sorry, Hashem's name and his Kisei are not complete. It means as long as there's evil in the world, as long as people are doing bad things and seemingly getting away with it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not fully recognized in the world. But when Amalek will be destroyed, when the evil in the world will cease to exist, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be recognized in the world. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gathers together all the malachim and says, go listen to the Sipur of my Shevach that my children are saying, and they're so happy with my Geula. And then they all gather together, and they connect themselves with Klai Yisrael, and they listen to the Shevach of those who are so happy and the Simcha of the Geula of their master. And the Malachim come, and they're Meshabeach HaKadosh Baruch Hu and all the Nisim and Gevuros that he did. And as it sets off a chain reaction, we are Meshabeach Hashem, and we open the valves. We set off a chain reaction that now we are the cause that the Malachim will be praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And they praise Hashem for his holy nation that he has down here on earth, who are so happy and rejoicing in the Simcha of the Geula of the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that gives koyach to Shemayim, koach and gvura lemala. Hard to understand those words, but that is a concept that Chazal speak about, that when we do the right things, we allow koyachas and Shemayim to become stronger. Perhaps it means Hashem will be more manifest in the world. Maybe it means that more nisim will happen. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hashgacha will be made stronger, but we give power to Shemayim above. And Yisrael, when Klai Yisrael, when they're giving that strength to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's like a king that they're mishabeach him, and it gives him more power. And it goes on to say more like that. This is how it is when we're mishabeach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it says, and if you'll ask, why are we obligated to do this? Doesn't Hashem know whatever we're saying? He knows what he did. He knows what's going to be. What are we praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu for? And the answer to that is that we have to do it. We have a chiyuv to be mefarsim the nes, to publicize the nes. Ulesaper lefanav v'chomash asalo, and to tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to say before Hashem all that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did. Now, and this is really a right thing to do for anything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does to us, because those words go up to Shemayim, and the whole heavenly court gathers together, and they see those words. That's the lashon of Chazal. They see Beroim es Hadiburim. They see the words. Sounds a little bit like Matan Torah. When words were visible, u'mishabchim kulam HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they all praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, u'misromeim kvodo, and his honor is elevated aleihem, lemala u'lemata, both in Shemayim and the Malachim u'lemata down here on earth. And it ends with Baruch Hashem l'olam, amen v'amen. So when we are careful what comes out of our mouths, and then we make sure to use our mouths for the right thing, and we misaper b'tzias Mitzrayim, misaper the Shevach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, b'tzias Mitzrayim, and smeichem in the Geula, we are accomplishing things beyond anything we can imagine. Making myriad malachim and Shemayim, being mishabeach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is given kaviyach, if you can use these words, koyach, the heavenly powers become stronger as a result of what we're doing. And we're going to say in our Haggadah, Yivne Beis HaBekar, the Ribbono Shel Olam should build the Beis HaMikdash Mitzvah Hashem very soon. And that too is hinted in our parsha. We have a part in our parsha about Saras of the house. Saras of the house, the eyes of the person who might find Saras on the walls of his house. So it says that the person who owns the house should go to the Kohen and tell him that he thinks he sees a negat on the wall of his house. Kenega nirali babayis. So the Medrash tells us that as much as it's talking about a person and the Kohen and Saras, there's really another deeper meaning over here, that the one who owns the house is a reference to the Ribbono Shel Olam. He owns the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash is his. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes to the Kohen. The Kohen is Yirmiyahu. He was the Kohen at the time of the Churban. HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes to the Kohen. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to the Kohen, Kinega nirali babayis. It seems that there is a nega in my house. Yirmiyahu was a Kohen. Yirmiyahu was a Kohen. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like, talks to the Kohen, goes to the Kohen, and says, Kinega nirali babayis. It seems that there is a plague in my house. There is something wrong in my house. And that's a reference to the Avodah Zarah. The Kohen Gadol was serving Avodah Zarah, and the Menashe HaMelech made a tselem in the Heichal. He put Avodah Zarah in the Beis HaMikdash itself. And the Pasuk says, the Kohen will command that you have to empty out the house. And that's what it means over here, that in Malachim Aleph it says, Vayikachas Utsos Beis Hashem, that he took away the Utsos, the treasures that were in the house of Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the treasures, the things of the Beis HaMikdash are taken out. And then the house has to be broken down. And that's the Beis HaMikdash, which was destroyed. And you have to take the stones and throw them outside of the city. And that is a reference to Klal Yisrael, who were sent into Bavel. And we might say, for how long will they be there? Forever? Will they have to be in Golis forever? So the Pasuk says, V'lekhu avanim achiros. They should take other stones and start rebuilding the wall. And that is a reference to the fact that in Yitzhak Hashem there will come a time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to have the Beis HaMikdash rebuilt. When we make sure that there's no nega hatzaras, we make sure that we are not doing the wrong things. We clean ourselves up. Sur me rava se tov. We have to go away from the bad. We have to make sure that which goes into our mouth is suitable. We have to make sure that which goes out of our mouth is suitable. We should do good with our mouths. We should do the mitzvah of Yigad for Bincha Bayom Hahu. We should set off that chain reaction of all the malachim and shemayim that they'll be praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu too. We'll do the other mitzvahs with our mouths, eating matzah, eating maror, drinking the arba kreses. And our mouths will become in themselves a way of praising the Ribbono Shel Olam with the words that we say and with the mitzvahs that we do. And we'll be zoicha that there won't be any more a nega tzaras. Not in ourselves, not in the Beis HaMikdash, and Adir Hu, Yivne Beis HaBekar, the Ribbono Shel Olam will rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. Demheira b'yameinu, amen. Hashat Hacha, l'shana haba b'arad Yisrael. Now we're here, but next year we should be in Eretz Yisrael. Hashat Avde, l'shana haba b'nei Choran. Now we're slaves, but next year we should be b'nei Choran. L'shana haba b'Yerushalayim, and it's still possible that for this year itself, We will be in Yerushalayim. It's still possible. Every day we have to hope that Mashiach will be coming. It's a pasuk in Parshas Yisro where it says, "V'asa eschem al kanfei nesharim." I carried you on the wings of eagles. And the Targum says on those words that on the night of Pesach, when Klal Yisrael were in Mitzrayim, it says Hashem carried us on the wings of eagles. What is it referring to? So the Yonasan ben Uziel tells us from the Medrash that on that night when we were in Mitzrayim and we had And with the night of the Korban Pesach, Hashem transported the Yidden out of Mitzrayim into Eretz Yisrael to the Makom Beis HaMikdash, which is where they took care of the Korban Pesach. And after that, Hashem put them back into Mitzrayim to have Yetzias Mitzrayim. For I saw Eschem HaKanfin Hashem, I carried you on the wings of eagles. It's a reference to the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu transported all of Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim and brought them to the Makom Beis HaMikdash, where they took care of the Korban Pesach, ate the Korban Pesach, I guess. I don't know if they shechted it, I'm not sure where they shechted it. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought them back into Mitzrayim. So any moment, everything can change drastically, enormously. We have to keep hoping, and doing what we have to do. The Sur Meira, making sure that nothing goes in or out of our mouths that is not the way it should be. And the Aseh Tov of using our mouths to sing Shiras v'Sishbachos, to Ribbono Shel Olam, to praise Him, and to do all the good things we can do with our mouths. To say kind words, to be mechazik other people, to be menachim people, to be mesameach people, to share with other people, to teach Torah to other people. All the good things, davening, of course, all the good things that we can do with our mouths. And we should be zoche for Pesach. Pesach, a mouth that will speak, and speak in the very most beautiful way, most kedushadik way, the way that will bring happiness, if you could use the words, to simcha, to shamayim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu have nachas from us, and we should be zoche mitzvah Hashem to the building, rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash B'Karach. Thank you.